waived in the seventh case on the docket, so we'll move on to case number 8, which is United States against Luis Aguirre Arana. And we'll hear from you, Mr. Donovan.
Good morning. May it please the court and opposing counsel. I'm attorney Chris Donovan. I represent Mr. Aguirre Arana on this appeal. There's the first issue this court has to decide is whether the arguments that we presented below critiquing the governing guideline for illegal reentries was a stock argument or an argument that had to be considered by the court. If it wasn't a stock argument and it had to be considered, then the second issue to be decided is whether the district court did in fact consider and adequately discuss the arguments here. I think there's several reasons why this is not a stock argument. First off, it can only be raised in illegal reentry cases. This is not like some of the stock arguments discussed in this court's case law that can apply in any case for pretty much any defendant, such as overstatement of criminal history, family ties, extraordinary acceptance of responsibility, things of that nature. And so I think just the nature of the arguments raised here make them not a stock argument.
But it does seem like you want the district court to reinvent the wheel on this argument every time. And district courts have heard a lot about the background of this guideline, and this court has said if the district court wants to follow the guideline, it's entitled to do so.
That's correct, but the problem is here there's nothing in the record to indicate that the court does have a policy or generally disagrees with these arguments or doesn't agree with the critiques that were raised. It basically gave...
I think that's what makes it sound a little stockish. You know, if the judge is supposed to say in every 1326 case, and I agree with 2L1.2, I mean, you know, what have we accomplished?
Well, I think what we accomplished is avoiding a situation like we have here where we're not sure, based on the court's comments, whether it did consider the arguments or whether it is a general policy. I'm not clear.
But we've already said that the court does not have to consider this argument, whether it's raised as a stock argument or as a full-blown primary argument. We've got cases that hold that this sort of argument about a policy disagreement with the guidelines need not be considered. It may be in the court's discretion, but the court can pass over it in silence if it wants to. This is different from factual sentencing arguments that, if primary and solid, the court is required to at least mention before dismissing.
Well, I certainly agree that this court has said that the district courts don't have to agree with these arguments, but I still think there had to be something put on the record indicating why it was either rejecting them or passing over them.
We've already said no.
Well, and to follow up on your other concern...
Need not even consider the argument. That's what the Ramirez case says, which I believe my colleague is referring to, among others. And if you don't have to consider it, it's not that a district court is forbidden to consider it. You're saying, though, that the district court is compelled to consider it, and we've said otherwise.
Well, I also think that there is a factual basis underlying this argument that the court should consider that is unique to each individual case. For example, the type of conviction that underlies the 16-level enhancement, it could be viewed differently if it's a murder or a homicide that leads to that enhancement versus if it's a lesser violent crime. And so I think that the district court has to at least explain, even if it has a general policy against accepting it, why in this case it still doesn't, you know, that it thinks it's...
Would go into the 3553A. It doesn't go into the correct calculation of the guidelines, but you certainly could bring out particulars of the convictions that might allow you to argue for a lower sentence for 3553A purposes.
Correct. And we're not arguing here that the guideline was incorrectly calculated. We recognize that it does apply on its face, but again, we think that the court had to at least spend 5 seconds just saying, I don't agree with this guideline or I don't agree with the policy. I've ruled in the past that this isn't a consideration for me. But again, here we don't have anything close to that.
Well, and that's because we've held that the court doesn't even need to spend 5 seconds on that. And as a factual matter here, to the extent that this is construed as a factual argument, as Judge Wood has suggested, the factual record is against you because the judge did talk about the nature of the underlying conviction here and, you know, took it into account and said it's something that he's considered and is rejecting as a basis in mitigation.
Well, he did talk about the criminal history. That's correct. But again, not necessarily, I don't think, in the context of the critique of the guideline that we raised.
I think we ought to move on to another point. I
will. The last thing I'll say, and then I'll rest and let the government make their argument, is if the court did have to consider it, I don't think that the comments that the court made here did do so. It referenced 16 points. It's not clear. The 16 correlates to the 16-level enhancement, but the points would correlate more to a criminal history analysis. And so I won't belabor this point. If the court feels it didn't have to address it and could pass over in silence, then really this part of the argument is irrelevant. But I do otherwise stand on my briefs and urge the court to remand for resentencing.
All right. That's fine. So we'll hear from the government. Ms. Wesley.
I'll just briefly comment. Won't be long. With regard to defense counsel's last comment, with regard to what the judge was referencing when he indicated, when he talked about 16 points, initially in the defendant's arguments at sentencing, defense counsel addressed the 16-level increase under the sentencing guidelines on three different occasions. And in response to defense counsel's arguments, the district court indicated or talked about 16 points that defense counsel had argued about. So clearly the district court was referencing the 16-level increase in the guidelines with regard to the increase for a violent felony.
Make any difference, actually? I mean, once the district court has calculated offense level and criminal history and come up with a range, once the 3553A process is underway, do you think it matters what the court calls it? I mean, the concept is the guideline range is too high, right? Because this guy, something particular about this person.
Sure. And I just wanted to make that point that I think that the record demonstrates that the district court was referring to the guidelines, the 16-level increase, as opposed to the criminal history, as defense counsel has suggested.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So unless there are any questions, I would rely on my brief.
Questions? Apparently not. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And if you would like to have the last word, Mr. Schultz, you may or not. All right. Well, we thank you very much, and thanks to the government as well. And we'll take the case under advisement.